Call is now being recorded.
Well, hey guys, I'm here with Mike Foster from People of the Second Chance. And Mike, I'm here on behalf of Brave Daily. We are a website that is geared towards Christian content, you know, living content and new media, whether that's books or music or film, and just getting it out, recognizing that not everyone has the ability to read, obviously, every new book that's coming out, but thinking that it's important to highlight and focus certain ones and get those out to a large readership and viewership. So if you could, just give me a little bit of a backstory about People of the Second Chance.
Yeah, so I just came out with a new book about 6-7 weeks ago called People of the Second Chance, A Guide to Bringing Life-Saving Love to the World. And it's really a book that I believe is sort of a framework or a guide to helping people embrace their not-so-perfect stories, some of the painful wounds of their life, and how to let God leverage that in terms of helping heal the world.
Right. Yeah, I've actually had the opportunity to read it, and I thought it was a very open and honest kind of walk through your own life. You know, you talk about the different struggles throughout your childhood and how you've seen God do amazing things. And looking back over your life, is there maybe a time or two where you can say, you know, you're grateful to either have had a second chance at something or have given a second chance to someone?
Yeah, I think in my own story first, and I've needed way more than just the second chance. I think I'm on my 6,000th chance in terms of, you know, all my mess ups and screw ups. And I talk about this a lot when I'm speaking at different conferences and with different groups. I tell them that almost every decade of my life, I've had a rock bottom experience. And so, you know, I share obviously a lot of that in the book itself as sort of the starting point to saying, hey, I understand this isn't just a philosophical idea for me. This is something that I experienced pretty in a deep and profound way in my own story. And so in the book, I share about a boating accident that I was involved in where I literally ran somebody over in the water and permanently disfigured him, permanently injured him, and dealing with the guilt and the shame of that. I also talk about just the my own life, even though I lead an organization called People of Second Chance, even though I try to make grace the forefront of my message and the way I see the world, it's still hard to give second chances and give grace, and even my own personal struggle with extending that to people that honestly drive me nuts sometimes. And I think all of it, whether it's grace in our own story, second chances in our own story, us needing to give a second chance, all of it is really about expanding our own heart for love and for God and really just becoming more in tune with how he created us and what the kind of lifestyle that he's calling us into.
Right. Yeah, and I think one of the things like you hit on just throughout, you know, your synopsis there was how in my own life, sometimes it's harder to give grace to myself than it is someone else.
Without question, I mean, I think everybody, you know, if we were honest with ourselves, we'd say, you know, it's easier for me to forgive, you know, somebody who's hurt me or somebody who's maybe done something to me or maybe a family member. It's easier to forgive them than it is to actually forgive ourselves. And I think we bring a standard or a set of rules to our own life and our own performance that is just insane sometimes. And so I really believe that the starting point, really what I talk about in the book, is we have to start with self-compassion and self-acceptance and self-grace before we can become really good grace givers. It's like we have, like, once we know that we are loved and that we are forgiven, then we are able to love others and forgive others a lot better. But as long as we have sort of that block or that resistance, as long as we're sort of in this mode of self-condemnation or self-loathing or self-criticism, that's going to stop the flow of love out of our lives and into other people's stories. And so that's why I think we start with our own heart, start with our own second chance, forgive ourselves, and then we become these really beautiful ambassadors and lighthouses of love and hope in the world. But until we forgive ourselves, it's going to be hard to actually forgive truly forgive others and be a second chance person.
Right. One of the most touching, I guess, parts of the book is when you talked about what you've deemed these prodigal parties, you know, just these celebrations for people that often aren't celebrated or think they're worthless or, you know, whatever have you, they're deemed broken by society. You know, could you dive maybe a little bit more into what a prodigal party is and how we could implement it, you know, maybe throughout this Christmas season?
Yeah, so one of the things that we're doing at People of Second Chance, and I write about in the book, is we're throwing parties for inmates who are being released from prison. It's really celebrating the beginning of a second chance and, in a way, celebrating society's uncelebrated. There's a lot of people would say, hey, an inmate, a felon, doesn't deserve a party, doesn't need a party. But I just go to, you know, the New Testament and look at the story of the prodigal son, and it seemed like God used the party as a reminder that no matter how bad we screw it up or mess it up, that second chances are real, grace is real. And so what we've been doing is like literally putting a pragmatic, real sort of expression of that story of the prodigal son with inmates. And so we, you know, just a few months ago, we threw a party for a woman named Ramona who had served 21 years in prison for a drug offense, and she was getting out. And for 21 years of her life, she had been treated like a number, a threat to society, a danger to society. She'd been, you know, all her dignity and worth had been stripped away in terms of the prison system. And we just said, hey, Ramona, we want to celebrate you. We want to remind you that you are important, that you're valuable, that you're loved, that you're not alone. And so we had lunch, we had cake, we had balloons, we did dance the Macarena, and just, it was like 120 people gathering, friends, family, and strangers, and just said, we believe in new beginnings. We believe in fresh starts, and we believe in the importance, Matthew, of reminding people of who they really are. I think we live in a society that often causes us to forget who we are, that causes us to think that we're our worst moment, or that we're a label that's been put on us by society, or we just have this distorted idea of who we are in a distorted self-concept. And so what we love to do is sort of an organization, and really what I'm inviting everybody into is come alongside people who've forgotten that God has a plan for their life, that they're loved, that their story matters. And we do this through cheese dip, guacamole, balloons, and celebration, and through these prodigal parties.
Right. Yeah, because I think that having, you know, a celebration or people coming alongside maybe the prodigals in our own life is very important to helping just revive their sense of worth and their sense of life, you know, rejuvenating what was broken. I know that you all recently partnered with Willow Creek, correct?
We did.
Prison packs? Yeah. Could you go in maybe and tell a little bit about that? Because I know that I've actually gifted, I think it was last year, I gifted one to my wife. I said, you know, I went out and I purchased this for you for Christmas. And it really meant a lot to her knowing that what I had actually, you know, maybe not necessarily acquired for her, but was gifted towards someone else. And the money that was, you know, exchanged was valued at much more than anything I could give her.
Well, first off, thank you, Matthew, for just doing that. And we just like literally 2 weekends ago, I was out in Chicago and we partnered with Willow Creek Church. And we ended up putting together 65,000 Christmas care packages for every single inmate in the state of Illinois. And so those little Christmas care packages, little prison packs, contained a second chance journal and devotional. They had a little workbook that we put together with just coloring and inspirational quotes and just things to remind them of who they are, and just to stir up and amplify hope in their life. There was a honey bun. There was some popcorn. a Christmas card, and all that was, it was so much fun, like, partnering with Willow on this, and just two organizations who really care about the overlooked and the ignored. And what was so cool is I got to meet a couple of the guys, and it goes to men, women, and juvenile inmates all across the state of Illinois. I got to meet a couple of the guys who actually had received the care packages the year before, and we've been doing this a couple years now, but they had talked about, like, this was the only gift that they ever got in the entire year. Like, they would literally wait 364 days for this gift to arrive. And this is our fourth year now of doing it. It was just so humbling and sobering to think about that. You know, I feel like these are just little expressions of love and little tiny acts of goodness. But to see, like, when you're living with such a scarcity of love and with such, like, in such darkness and such hopelessness, just those small acts and those little, that little care package, like, meant the world to them.
Right. I think that's something that we often forget about, you know, that there are people who do with less, and so any little thing can mean the world to them. I can't imagine only getting one gift a year, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's what I try to debunk in the book, is that so often we overcomplexify calling or how to love people or what should I do next. It's like, just start in the smallest of ways. It's a kind word. It's coming to a party. It's making some guacamole. It's inviting a friend over. It's writing a small encouraging note. It's, you know, little packages for inmates. Like, every single one of us plays a part in bringing hope to the world. And so, you know, I talk about it in this concept of tiny greatness. This, like, the tiny things that you do when done in love mean the world.
I really hope that, you know, everyone across the world can grasp just what, you know, a large impact and a drastic change doing one thing, one small thing, you know, every day, or even one small thing once a week could do to this world. You know, we live in darkness, but that one small ember or one small light could flood someone else's life.
Totally. And I think what the lie that we often believe is that this won't matter, or this won't make a difference. I've been told by people all the time that, well, What good is a party going to do for an inmate? That's not going to make any difference. And it's like, really? Because the people that we've been throwing parties for are building new friendships, are being pointed in the right direction. They're feeling the sense of hope. Like, people tell me, like, why give gifts to prisoners at Christmas time? That won't make any difference. That won't change anything. It's like, well, I'm talking to people last week at Willow Creek and saying it did make a difference. And so, like, don't believe the lie of our society or the lie that we often tell ourselves that these small gestures of love don't matter, because they really, really do.
Right, right. Yeah, well, hey, do you have maybe just a brief moment to talk? I know we've talked sort of about the book and your life experiences. Maybe dive into a little bit more of what People the Second Chance is. You know, we've talked, it's an organization that kind of partners, but I know really it echoes throughout your book, but for so many people, they may not follow you or have known about you like some others.
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit organization, and I just say that we make stuff for not-so-perfect people. And so we've created all different types of resources. We obviously have the outreach component to inmates and in different prison systems across the country. But kind of the core of what we do is we make things that help people embrace their pain and their hurts and their hang-ups and begin to find freedom in those areas. And so whether it's a devotional or a experiential journal for a prisoner, or I've written two different best-selling small group curriculums, one called Freeway, a Not-So-Perfect Guide to Freedom, and Wonder Life, Not So Perfect Guide to Who You Are and Why You're Here. And those are just group curriculums, group studies that people gather up and talk about some of the stuff that hurts, some of the stuff that hasn't gone so well. And as we share those stories and we share those moments, we actually begin to find freedom, and we figure out that we're not the only one. And, you know, I kind of look at some of the things that we do as like, it's like AA for the rest of us. You know, it's for, we try to do it in we try to create things that are very creative and fun and not too heavy, but truly transformational. And so, you know, it's curriculum. I've recorded several e-courses, free e-courses that you can get at our website at secondchance.org. We have a training part of what we do where we train leaders on how to coach and counsel hurting people. And so it's really just we're trying to throw out all kinds of good little things into the world that will help us become better heart handlers, better second chancers, where we live more in freedom and flourish and thrive in our own lives. And really, we believe all that starts with love and grace and second chances.
And the third chance and the fourth chance, right? It goes on and on
exactly.
And on.
Exactly.
Well, hey, Mike, if someone wanted to connect with you, I know you mentioned peoplethesecondchance.org. Is there another means, you know, maybe Twitter or Facebook, Instagram, anything like that?
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty active on social media, Twitter. I'm just at Mike Foster on Twitter. Instagram, I probably post mostly to Instagram these days, but it's I'm on Instagram at MikeFoster2000. Mike Foster. I don't know how I got MikeFoster2000, but that's my name.
It happens. If you're not the first to claim it, you kind of get whatever's left.
You get what I got the leftovers. I think there's some other Mike Fosters out there, and so I was left with the Mike Foster 2000. And then, of course, secondchance.org. You know, the website's a great starting point for everything that we're up to, everything that we're doing. We got lots of stories, videos from different prodigal parties we're doing, the books available there, the free e-courses. So yeah, I mean, we're just this little band of little second chancers trying to put out a lot of good stuff to help people, you know, embrace their own not so perfect lives.
Sounds good. I just want to say thank you, you know, from myself of just being a role model and leading the charge of this grace thing that you're trying to convey, you know, this love and grace that we so often lack in just our daily lives, but having someone out there as a champion of it. I just want to say thank you.
My pleasure, Matthew. And thanks for just your support and thanks for being a part of it. I mean, this really is a community of people. And I just get to sort of be the crazy uncle of the family. So I tell people I got the greatest job in the world, and I love just helping remind people who they are and that they're loved by God.
All right. Thank you so much for your time, Mike.
Thanks, Matthew.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.